Now, more Lawyers Who Needs Them on TalkZone.com. Here are your hosts, Jim and Randall.
Welcome back to Lawyers Who Needs Them. I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hartman.
And I love the way Professor Staccato flies over those keys on the Hammond organ. I love that stuff.
If you drank like he drank, you'd fly over the keys.
All right. Well, welcome back. If you like to call us, we'd love to hear from you. We're live today, so today's a good day to call.
Well, let them know it's
we're
Monday.
Dead.
Let them know it's
Monday.
Monday.
It's Monday.
If you're listening to this on a different day and we say it's live, we're really not live. We're dead.
Right. We're dead
on those days.
But okay. Today we are live. It's
so
Monday.
It's Monday.
And the number is 1-888-463-6748. Come on, take a break from work.
Well, that's the domestic number.
Right. 1-888-463-6748. And I don't think anybody else is up outside of North America, so I'm not going to give that
number
again.
Well, they could be up.
All right,
sure.
I'll give it.
Well,
maybe 011.
Might be yesterday or tomorrow.
You're right. 011-847-470-0937. And our engineer, Rollicking Randy Meyer, he's a little slow, but he's sloppy, and you don't
and
have to worry about it.
He understands Fijian, so if you
yes, he
call
does.
From Fiji,
he
you can ask
speak,
it, he'll translate it for
he
you.
He will, and he'll translate it for us, too. Okay. All right, case number four here. Supreme Court upholds an individual's right to sue in a drug case despite the fact that the drug was approved by the FDA.
That's correct. It's not so much the drug, but the labeling. Is approved. The FDA has to approve the protocol and the labeling and all the things that go with a drug. That's why the process takes some time. But in this particular case, which comes out of Vermont, a musician, a lady by the name of Diane Levine, was a guitar player and a singer. And she took an anti-nausea drug. I can't seem to find the name of it, but I'll probably come
and that seems it. Innocent. I mean,
it was
an anti-nausea drug.
It seems innocent, and it was manufactured by the Wyeth Pharmaceutical Company.
Okay.
Very, very well-reputed company, make a lot of different kind of drugs and remedies and things like that. But in her case, she took an injection of this drug in her arm, got gangrene, and they amputated her arm after the drug. So without her arm, she could no longer play the guitar and sing. She could sing, but the guitar was a little difficult.
Right.
Because
right.
if she held it in that arm, she had no arm to play it with. And if she played with that arm, she had no arm to hold it with. So it was very difficult to play the guitar.
Thank you for explaining. What do we call it? The kinesthetics of playing a guitar.
Well, at any rate,
all right.
She sued in the state of Vermont courts, and she was awarded a verdict of
quite a bit of money, actually.
Well, $6.7 million.
Enough to where she can get a guitar player to strum for her.
That's right. Or to hold a guitar for her, depending on which hand she strums with.
Are we back to
but
that?
Anyway, what the drug company contended is that this was a matter that the area of labeling, and she contended, by the way, in her case, that the label was not clear enough, was not a sufficient enough warning
right.
to tell what would happen if the drug was improperly administered.
Okay.
So they went to the federal court saying, now, hold on, this is a federal matter because the FDA, that's the Food and Drug Administration, approved the label. And therefore, you didn't have to meet any other standard of care. They approved the label insofar as the warning was concerned. There was a warning, but it was not sufficient because it didn't really deal with the consequences. So they said that because this area was preempted by the federal government through the Food and Drug Administration, that Ms. Levine was not permitted to sue in Vermont. And that went all the way up to the United States Supreme Court
right.
from the highest court in Vermont, which sustained the verdict.
And the Supreme Court said?
You can do it. You can sue. In other words, the fact that the FDA puts rules in doesn't mean that that replaces even stricter rules that a state may have. Obviously, you can't put rules in on a state level which would conflict with the government rules or conflict with the FDA, but they can be stricter. And
in this case,
Wyeth contended it to be impossible for them to comply with the federal regulations and the state regulations at the same time. And the Supreme Court said, no, it is not impossible for Wyeth to comply with its state and federal law obligations. Justice Stevens wrote the opinion of the court.
Right.
And for a change, it was 6-3 instead of 5-4.
Yeah, that's good.
So,
okay,
couple
so
of them.
Can,
at any rate, she can keep her verdict
good
of $6.7 million.
And she deserves every penny of it.
And I mean, and now the thing is, maybe she can buy some kind of a stand that'll hold a guitar. and she can strum it with the good on. I don't know. But the case is Wyeth against Levine.
You can't just strum it. She's got to play the chords. You got to do both.
Well, you got to
put your fingers
right.
in the gut.
That's
yeah.
right. Well,
all right. Well,
any rate, this decision is very recent.
It has a much further meaning because it goes beyond
this particular case.
Right. Absolutely.
It means that people can sue in their states. They're not precluded by the fact that the labeling on drugs will comply with the Food Drug Administration labeling, and they can go. In other words, compliance does not necessarily equal safety.
That's good. Well said.
And
that's
now the thing.
We have some breaking news. Breaking news. Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen.
What's breaking?
The Colorado State Patrol has withdrawn their ticket to the Good Samaritan, based solely on our coverage of the story last week.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, people across the country wrote in, called in. The phones were blowing off the hook there at the Colorado State Patrol.
Right.
And finally, those knuckleheads decided they would do the right thing.
Now, I hope you all remember. Those who didn't listen will refresh your recollection. I mean, it's not refreshing your recollection. We'll tell you about it. In Colorado, there's this the bus driver and was helping two ladies across the street in a snowstorm, and a truck was coming along, and he saw them and he pushed them out of the way and saved their lives, and he got hit by the panel truck,
and he became
very injured. He was very injured.
Yep, seriously.
He's still in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And the state patrol gave him, the hero, a ticket for jaywalking. Gave one of the women a ticket for jaywalking. Maybe she got a ticket for jaypushing or jaypulling because he pushed her out of the way.
He must have pushed her out of the lane to walk.
And that's how that was. Now, here's a guy that was a hero, and everybody said what a brave thing he did. And he's
sure
in the hospital fighting for his life, and they give him a jaywalking ticket.
Right.
And we talked about it on this program.
That's right, we did.
And we'd like to think, as a consequence of this profound exposition on our part, and our investigation
reporting
and the report and our outstanding reporting, that the Colorado State Patrol has withdrawn the jaywalking ticket.
That's right.
And let me tell you, it wasn't easy. It was a $22 ticket.
Oh, $22
jaywalking ticket. Bus driver Jim Moffitt of Denver and another man were helping these ladies, and they were the two involved.
They got the ticket.
The State Patrol said in a statement that it withdrew the citation, quote, after examining the circumstances, end quote. How close you have to examine them? A truck comes along and bangs into people.
Don't you do that first,
and
then you give a ticket?
And consulting with prosecutors. A patrol spokesman didn't immediately return a call seeking comment.
Okay.
But I know what his comment was.
What?
And so justice has triumphed.
Again.
Yes, you heard about the fellow. His lawyer called him up, and he said to the client, justice has triumphed. The client said, take an appeal immediately. So, justice triumphed once again.
It's like having faith in your attorney.
It is.
In
your
case.
I'm so glad they did that, though.
That was a terrible thing.
I felt terrible about it.
And now we feel
felt terrible.
But we feel good now.
Now we feel good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We have, in all of these years of doing this program, we finally did one positive thing for society.
Well, we try to do positive things, but nobody listens.
That's all right. Come on, I got two more cases here. I love this one. I'm going to give you this Proposition 8. Is still under attack in California.
And
they won't let it go.
Well, it's in the highest court there. It's in the Supreme Court of California. And it's interesting, and this is very interesting. They're going to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has the rule on the constitutionality. But Proposition 8 amended the California the Constitution. That's what it was. And it amended it, and of course, this is the Proposition 8 is to ban gay marriages.
Right.
Marriages between people of the same sex.
Mm-hmm.
And so the court, in taking this, you wonder, how can they take it? If it's a constitutional amendment, how can they decide the constitutionality of it?
That's a nice word.
Constitutionality. But in California, and you know, California's a little different. Folks out there, you know it. There are many here in the East who feel that California ought to be made a sort of a universal lunatic asylum. But in any event, what happened there is they are contesting the adoption of Proposition 8, on the, even though it was passed by the public in an election, on the grounds that the measure made such a sweeping change to the state constitution that it spun to put it on the ballot without approval from the California legislature. And that's a funny thing, because in California, citizens can petition to put constitutional amendments on the ballot, but not substantial revisions directly to voters. Now, what's a substantial...
What's a sweeping?
A sweeping or substantial revision. I don't know. That's such a matter of subjectivity that it sounds crazy, but they're doing it. And the stakes are high, because 18,000 couples who married since that proposition...
Before Proposition 8
went through, they were married before it was...
Reversed.
Before it was on, and before the right to marry was reversed by Proposition 8, that they were married, and those marriages were legal at the time. Now, are they unmarried if they sustain Proposition 8? Or what the answer is anybody's guess. However, the court did seem inclined to say, well, look, if we say Proposition 8 is okay, maybe we should say the 18,000 people who got married before this, we're going to allow them to be legally married.
Yeah, I guess
so. You're going to have some people.
It's called a grandfathering effect.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
And you're going to have, you're not going to really know. I mean, it's going to be a little peculiar that I can't get the benefit of a same-sex marriage. And the other people can.
Well, they're going to sort it out.
Yeah, they're going to have to sort it out.
And once again, our crack reporting staff will be on the spot.
Absolutely.
To give us the most up-to-date
right outside
status.
The courthouse.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right where they need to be.
Right.
All right. Now, this is a funny one. This should go down as the stupid award of the week. But the police, you're going to have to tell us where this took place, but the police stopped
a woman who
was driving her car, breastfeeding her baby, and on the telephone at the same time.
Right. Well,
the only thing she wasn't doing was shining her shoes.
That's right. Or a dance. She could have been dancing. But it's true. The police in Ohio, this was in Ohio.
Right.
And they charged this woman with endangering a child.
Well, she was.
They said the breastfeeding, she was breastfeeding a youngster and talking on the phone while driving. Now, you know, in most states, you have to put the kid in a restraining seat.
Right.
In what they, you know, what do they call those? You used to put them in a car. You use them in a car, right.
Yeah, car seat.
Car seat. The restraining seat, a car seat. And you're supposed to put it in the back seat. Now, she said, no, she didn't. But at any rate, she said she didn't want the kid to go hungry. They said it was not a question of breastfeeding. The fact you were breastfeeding in public did not have anything to do with their decision. It was endangering your child. The child was sitting in her lap while she was driving and breastfeeding. So the only solution, I think, is you have to put the kid in the back of the thing in one of those chairs.
Right.
And then you have to have large enough breasts to throw them in the back seat so the kid can satisfy his hunger while you're driving and breastfeeding at the same time.
And talking on the phone.
Oh,
my goodness.
All right. In some states, talking on the phone, like in our state, is sufficient to get you a traffic violation.
That's the least they could have given this woman was a traffic violation. That's all I can say. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Arrogance of the Rich and Famous. Was that you?
That's me.
I thought the wiring was on fire. Working with you is never dull. Anyway, Chris Brown, the band of renowns. Good old Chris Brown, the fellow that loves to smack a woman around. Chris Brown, the woman-smacking rap star, wants his charge reduced to a misdemeanor.
Well, here's a guy that has two felony counts against him. Perhaps you're all familiar with the fact that Chris Brown, who is a rock singer, and he also has a very pretty girlfriend, Rihanna, I think that's her only name. It's not Rihanna, it's Rihanna. One
it's
name.
It's like Madonna.
Madonna.
It's like the one name.
One name person.
Right.
And she's very pretty, and she's a singer, too.
Right.
And they've been going together. you know, very mature. She's 20, he's 19. I mean, they're, you know, they're really up there. They got all their brains. And he whacked the heck out of her the other day.
Yeah, he got mad at her.
And he
was
in a car. Now, he claims
else.
She started a fight. And he, at any rate, she was really beat pretty good.
Yeah.
Her nose was split, everything like that.
Oh.
And in the meantime, he has two felony counts against him because he really hurt her pretty badly. And the detectives really described it as a brutal argument between the singer and his girlfriend, Rihanna. And it was provoked by her discovery of a text message from another woman. That's why he said she started.
That's
she
right.
saw the text message,
right.
And she suspected infidelity.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Even though they're not married. This is what you call girlfriend or boyfriend infidelity.
Okay.
And so, you're supposed to be semper fidelis. Sci-fi, as the Marines say.
As they say, right.
So she got to beat him up, and the police came, and they threw him in a clink and everything, and now
he wants
to make a deal for a misdemeanor, no jail time.
All right.
And I think that's where you get the arrogance.
Well, what do you think?
Why should he not get jail time?
Yeah.
Who are you or me or any of us simple folk? We would get jail time. So well, my answer is, give him jail time. Well, that's no excuse.
All right. Well, what she said was...
What a grouch!
And that's about it. Yeah. Okay. Oh, we have...
She had a hard time saying that,
That's right.
She?
Took a little time for her to take a deep breath because her jaw was wired.
That's right. She's kind of...
All right. Now, there's a big to-do about Rush Limbaugh this week, and you have him here under the arrogance of the rich and famous.
Yeah, it really has nothing to do with the lawsuit.
No, it doesn't. But it has to do with this question of... Who's there? He's being accused of being the main man for the Republican Party.
You know, I'm not. My own political views are
indifferent.
They are indifferent.
Yes,
I mean, I try to be independent, but I think he's a gas bag. And even though he says certain things with it, I agree politically, philosophically, but he's just a bag of baloney. You don't think so?
Well, I don't say that. I think he's an entertainer, and I think an entertainer exaggerates stuff, and some of what he says is baloney.
Yeah, but he doesn't hold himself out to be an entertainer. He holds himself out to be a political pundit, a guy who knows something, somebody who has...
Well, he is more knowledgeable than the average Joe.
I'm not saying he's not a bright guy, but, Hitler was a bright guy, too.
Yeah, but he didn't have his own radio show.
I don't know if they had radios in those days. But,
oh, sure they did.
But in any event, two things I feel... that he did were extremely offensive. One was to say that he hoped Obama failed. Now, you have something that says they all hope for failure, the other party. But the fact is that I'm hoping whoever the president is succeeds simply because the country needs some kind of success.
Exactly. We don't want to be on the end of a failure.
Now, the other thing I feel that he was overboard on was when he said that, in effect, that Senator Ted Kennedy... would be dead before his health plan were passed. He said, quote, before it's all over, it'll be called the Ted Kennedy Memorial Health Care Bill. And that's a little below the belt. Let me say this.
Go ahead.
I am not a Ted Kennedy guy, as everybody knows.
Right.
I'm very anti. I think he's a big bag of baloney.
He's
too.
The bigger bag of baloney,
but
actually.
He got two bags of baloney. But the thing is, it's just uncivil. It is... coarse and wrong to wish those kinds of things. He can get his point across with less noxious conduct and behavior and language.
And I don't disagree with you. On the Kennedy thing, I actually agree with you. On the other thing, I want to point out that there was a poll taken, and I can't remember the pollsters, that asked the specific question in Bush's second term, would you like the president to succeed or fail? And 51% of the Democrats polled said they wanted him to fail. I mean, it was an out-and-out question. Now, that's a little different than a guy who's got control of the airwaves, which he does. Another one of those, and you won't care what the heck he says. But I just think, you can't... Here's what's happening. And I don't disagree with you on the Kennedy thing. He should have said anything about that. When a person's ill, that to me is off bounds. That's out of bounds. You shouldn't be talking about people ill. But he is an entertainer, and I think we've lost our sense of humor. Today he did a piece. I heard a piece on an article that came out in the Vatican paper this past week that said the washing machine was a greater emancipator of women than the pill. And he went on and on about how outrageous that was. And at the end he concluded, it was the vacuum cleaner that was more emancipating than the washing machine. So, I mean, all of that was tongue-in-cheek.
I've listened to him and used to listen to him quite a bit, and I don't think he's tongue-in-cheek. Now, let me say this to you. He's no worse, for instance, than this guy Savage. Who is Savage?
Right.
And really Al Franken.
Franken is worse than both of them.
Who is on the other side of the political aisle.
And he's
caustic and uncivil and intemperate as well.
Right.
And he will be a United States senator from the state of Minnesota, which seems they generally elect.
Well, they elected Jesse the Body Ventura.
That's right.
Okay.
That's the best
thing Jesse the Body Ventura ever did was playing that movie with Schwarzenegger, and I'm trying to remember that, not Alien, it was, I can't remember the name of that movie.
But whatever.
He was good in that movie. As a governor, I'm not so sure. Predator was the name of that movie, thanks to, Randy is on the stick. You don't watch those movies? You gotta watch those movies. I gotta watch a Schwarzenegger movie every Friday, because that's how I feel. Now, if you feel like that, just stay put, because we're going to take a short intermission, and when we come back, we're going to listen to questions from our listeners. Right here live, you're listening to Lawyers Who Needs Them on TalkZone.com.